and welcome to episode 158 of the Talking Talkie podcast. I am your host this evening, Stephen Dixon, and with me, in order of importance, Mr. Chris Ballard.
Of course, I'm first. Thank you.
Mr. Matt Parkman.
Oh, how lovely to be in silver position.
There is a woman on the pod, P.
Hi.
My second favourite, Matthew.
Oh, it's great to be here, Stephen. Fantastic. Thanks very much for inviting me.
Good. It's Hooblinks first. And then my first favourite, Matthew.
Oh, hi, Stephen.
You're right, Matty. That's Matty Hayward. And we've also got with us Jonathan Jones, the man so good they interviewed him twice, JJ.
Hello. How's it going?
Oh, good. We have got to the end of the season. Torquay United saw it out with a glorious, let's call it glorious, 5-0 win over Havant Waterlooville. Safety in the bag. Aaron Downes' men, E-I-E-I-O, up the Football League we go. What did we make of the... I'll just start with the initial sale. This is a great opener. We'll be talking about the Havant game. We'll be talking about the retained list, a few end-of-season awards, and, of course, an end-of-season game to whet everyone's appetites. But a 5-0 win over Havant. Matty Hayward, what was your takeaway from that game?
I mean, we should be positive, shouldn't we, I suppose? We beat a very bad team very well and very convincingly, and that's obviously a good thing. I think we should celebrate Austin Booth's moment in the sun. I think that should be the main takeaway from the game. It was a glorious strike from range, and you could tell that he'd been building up his whole life for that moment. And I'm sure it's far better than any dreams he'd had, really. That, you know, I don't think even a man of his modest ego would have expected to have scored a goal like that. So fair play to him. Yeah, it was great, I suppose. I left it slightly more cynical than most people, I think, because I was slightly disappointed that they'd chosen the game on which there was the least pressure all year to perform. But, you know, we had quite a lot of players out, as we tend to do. We had a very poor bench. We had a threadbare side, and we swept aside a poor team. And an optimist would say that's a great portent for the future.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I mean, we've been a poor side all season. Like, JJ, was it Havant being crap, or had we actually just kind of finally, you know, put something together ourselves?
I wasn't there, mate, but
one opener.
I would suggest it was probably a case of Havant being pretty bad, given their league position, and what Matty said. I think this team can't really perform under any pressure, really. So I think sort of shackles are off, and yeah, I think they put in the right performance. But yeah, it's just a shame we didn't see that more often throughout the season, really.
Yeah, no, it kind of puts it all into perspective a little bit. I feel like I'm playing courtmaster here, but Parkman, what was your takeaway from the day?
Yeah, I saw the highlights. I said I'd go down if we needed something from the game, and obviously didn't need, so I didn't go. But I have seen the highlights, and there are two takeaways. The first is that goalkeeper has taken money from Austin Booth's wife or child or something to throw that in his net. He gets a big, strong hand to it. This is not a fingertips and bashing his hand out of the way. He gets a proper whole-handed hand to it and simply chooses to punch the ball into the back of his own net. So that's the first thing to say. Booth struck it very nicely, but really I'd have been disappointed if any goalkeeper of mine hadn't thrown his cap on that. So take only a little bit away from him because he did strike the ball very nicely. But for God's sake, goalie, what are you playing at? And secondly, when managers say any team can beat any other in this division, what they actually mean is if one team plays like Havant do, i.e. like they were drunk, and the other team sort of for the first time in 46 games passes vaguely competently from one person wearing a yellow shirt to another person wearing a yellow shirt, the team doing the competent passing will win 5-0. We didn't do anything special. Havant aren't that bad. They cannot be that bad. They just couldn't be arsed. Amateur players last ever season, already relegated, dead rubber, could not be arsed at all. And it showed in the way it went down and the final result. So no, we aren't that good. No, haven't aren't that bad. No, Boo's goal wasn't that good. But overall, I think it was shit. We won 5-0.
Let's take it to the positives, though. As Aaron Dow said after the game, that it was important to give the fans something to, you know, I suppose, cling on to. I think it was it over 3,000 in the stadium? Matt Roberts, was it, you know, did you feel like it was a vindication for the fans' backing of the team this season?
I don't think the word vindication has come into my vocabulary very much this season. It was, I suppose, the best way that the season could end on, but it's a pretty horrific season. I didn't go, but I didn't really feel too bad that I hadn't seen it. Just glad that it's over and glad that hopefully all of these players will not be with us next season.
You're not advocating.
And the manager and the backroom staff and most people at the club.
That sounded very dark if you listened to that in the wrong way, but I'll just let that go in terms of not being with us next season.
We'll no longer be employed, I should add.
That's much better PR. Excellent. Ballard, the one man I haven't heard of. Would you say that performance was, you know, the icing on the cake of a terrific Brad Ash season?
You haven't heard of me. How many podcasts have we done?
No, is in this today's podcast.
Yeah. It's icing on the cake if the cake is made of shit. I mean, it's been a terrible
cake.
It's terrible cake. It's been a terrible season. I do think, I disagree with Matt. I think Austin Booth's goal was tremendous. And I think the goalkeeper was caught because he was 15 yards off his line when Booth galloped through the centre circle like a young, virile gazelle. I don't know why I chose a gazelle. I don't know if they're especially virile. I don't think we should take any credit away from the strike because I think it was excellent. And I hope he sticks around. Let's see. We'll get into that later. It's nice that we won 5-0. Like others, it's disappointing that it's taken 45 games for that kind of performance to come out. But equally, if we'd played out a dour 0-0 draw, we'd be complaining about that too. So, you know, winning 5-0 is better than not winning 5-0. And it's nice that the people who have made the effort in recent weeks got to see a decent performance, and hopefully whatever happens with the ownership during the summer, we'll see those people again at the beginning of next season.
Pete, you've heard us all talk being quite negative about a 5-0 victory over Havant towards Louisville. Do you think, as the editor of the podcast, that we know how to be happy?
I just don't even know how you want me to answer any of this. This is too much.
I feel like I'm playing Paxman.
I don't know. I think there were maybe positive points in that. Maybe. sorry, can you repeat the question?
It was a very mean question to get you into the pod, Pete. But I won't ask it again because it was mean. I mean, it bookends a poor season, doesn't it, Pete?
Yes. Yeah. It's I think Matty Hayward's quite right that it's disappointing that it's taken, well, and you know, has been echoed, but it's disappointing it's taken this long to come about. It's not necessarily unsurprising to me, though, that it's happened once the pressure is off. I don't know about anybody else, but working under the threat of whether or not I'm going to have a job tomorrow isn't necessarily something that gets the best out of me as an individual, and even sort of further afield or further back, working under a monster in the former owners probably also doesn't help. So it's not surprising to me that once those sort of difficulties have been alleviated, that people have perhaps felt a bit freer to, I don't know, I don't want to say have fun because I don't think that's the vibe necessarily, but have a better time.
Sounds to me like those players just haven't bought into Osborne's secrets of success.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you meant to go with that?
Yeah, there's
a discussion point. Yeah, and it's been poor. And I actually think, to his credit, Aaron Downs said after the game that, you know, great to end with a 5-0 win, but it's the full stop on one of the lowest seasons in Torquay United's history. But, you know, Austin Booth scores a banger, which is always nice for a fan to see. Matt Roberts, if you danced onto that ball in central midfield, where would you have put it?
I'd probably be questioning why I was out there in the first place, to be honest. But I mean,
this season.
I'll tell you what, when standing on that terrace at Bath, I thought I really could do better than some of this lot. I probably would have put it in row Z and then ran off the pitch. But
all right, so I unless anyone has any objections, I think, you know, the haven't game, I think we've underlined, and I've asked some inane questions as an excellent host would do. But the result lifts Torquay. Did it even lift us? I suppose I'm not even sure it did. Lifted us to 18th in the table, 53 points, obviously, with an 11-point deduction. But what that's going to lead us on to is a discussion about the retained list. I realise this is going to be a discussion laced with uncertainties as we talk about the long-term future of the club, which, pending the latest update, I think it said hoping for a further update by mid-May, so which isn't ideal. I suppose we'll just start with that. Like, Matt Parkman, I realise it's difficult, but mid-May, does that put some alarm bells into you in terms of the timings for any kind of potential takeover?
Well, I mean, yeah, assuming it all goes smoothly, that's fine. That's in plenty of time and, you know, we can lodge stuff. But as money's with the league and we can confirm our place in the National League South, woohoo. But my question, like, what the fuck is taking this amount of time?
I've got alarm bells, personally.
Have you?
Why have you got those, JJ?
I think now's the time you want to be dealing contracts and sort of getting things going. It's not going to be great to be doing everything in the middle of next month, because I just feel like contracts need to be started to be sorted out now. I know you can still get a lot of stuff done later on in the summer, but I just feel like we're not selling any season tickets. It just feels like we're just stagnant until whenever we get told whoever the bidder is. And also my other alarm bell is, why are they not just saying, hello, we're the preferred bidder. Nice to meet you. We'll let you know more once we can in a few weeks.
They're just
creating a vacuum where rumors just start, and you know, it can only make you lead to think some people are probably going to be involved that no one wants to be involved. And the longer it goes on, the more I just can't see it being as positive as a change as it should. I don't know how everyone else feels.
Watch this as a loaded comment. Hayward, you've always been a staunch defender of George Edwards's regime. What would you make if he stayed involved?
Yeah, thanks for that, Stephen. Yeah, very pro George Edwards, as anyone who listened to the Tunbridge game on Radio Devon will have heard. I think it would be catastrophic if George Edwards remained involved, in truth. I completely echo what Johnny says, that the longer it goes on, the longer there is secrecy, the more worrying it is. I know we've got that date in June for the AGM, so I'm not a big fan of mid-May being touted. That seems quite close for comfort. And I don't know why George Edwards would still be around if he didn't have some sort of vested interest in being around in August. I really hope that that's not the case, but I think it would put a hell of a lot of people off. And I think that he's a man who has failed to run our football club for the last however many years he's been involved. And I don't see how it can possibly be a positive thing for him to stay, regardless of where the money's coming from, because I doubt it's coming from him.
No, that's I think fair enough. And it's good to see you've done a 180 on the old George Edwards situation. So fair play to you on that.
I'm flexible, you know. I don't like to nail my colours to the mast too soon.
With the uncertainties that we've just underlined, you know, amongst us, I think we're just gonna have a brief discussion about the retained list. I think we'll do it as a discussion that we're assuming we're staying full time. I think that might be the only way to do it. So I tell you what, we could start with some quick fire ones, and then we can have discussions after. So let's go. I'll say Mark Halstead, and then we'll go around the group. You go keep or get rid, and then we can have a discussion around it. So Mark Halstead, Ballard,
bin him off.
Parkman,
bin.
P,
bin.
Hayward,
bin.
Roberts,
bin.
JJ,
bin. I'm gonna make this easy. Bin them all off, apart from probably two or three.
You've just really seen that the things are so carefully put together.
But we can carry on going through, but I just want to get this off my chest.
I have to go through them all. I was only going to try and go through some ones I thought there'd be some disagreements.
I'm reading people on Twitter saying, "Oh, we love you. Please stay next season." No, please don't. Go away.
I just completely concur.
Go on then. Why, Hayward?
Because they've been awful for 2 years, almost exclusively. I mean, they have literally put in five performances across the last 2 years, maybe. And they're essentially the same set of footballers. They haven't improved. They haven't shown any sign that they will improve in the future. They are useless, almost to a man. They are not good enough. And there are circumstances that may have affected their performances this year. But if you put our 11 points back on, we'd have still finished mid-table in the worst division we've ever been in. There will be footballers better than that.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost a duty of care because, yes, okay, they're human beings and some of them are trying and they're just not capable. Some of them maybe aren't trying and aren't capable. It doesn't really matter the reasoning behind it. These players, as we're all kind of in agreement, haven't made the cut for varying degrees of time, some longer than others. I think it would be irresponsible to keep fielding them on the basis that the fans are not going to keep putting up with it. So when, you know, Halstead chucks one in his own net or somebody does something, they're not going to be given the same grace period that new players with a clean slate may be. And I think there is a balancing act of looking after everybody's mental health through this process.
Yeah, could agree with that. Yeah, I think with Halstead, for me, I mean, people talk about he's been a good shot stopper this season. Of course he has. We've had so many shots to stop, you know, crack on. I'd save some of them. So I think we won't go through everyone, but I think I'll go through some of the ones that maybe are more controversial then. So I'm going to go with Tom Lapsley next, who I think many of us probably like. Ballard, Tom Lapsley.
I think we have to wave goodbye.
Parkman?
Yeah, as sad as it will be for the Tom Lapsley Appreciation Society to be something different next year, we can't carry a bloke that plays a third of the available games. No, sorry, Tom.
P?
I would maybe keep him for the bench because I do think that there is sometimes a purpose to him wearing people out, but I don't think that he can be a first team regular.
Hayward?
I don't have any regret, really. I'd let him go. He started to annoy me with his almost incessant arguing with the referee, more than his injury problems. I haven't got any patience with him anymore. I'm afraid he can go.
Roberts?
Same here. Hayward's kind of stolen my thunder, actually. All he seems to do now is because the team is so frustrating, he probably gets annoyed as well, like all of us do. And just... I'm surprised he hasn't got booked and sent off more than he has.
JJ.
Yeah, I think probably let Tom go as much as I do like him. And I think he really does put his all in for the shirt. And I think he does love the club. But yeah, just we need people available to play games. And he's just showing he's just not can't stay fit. So I think let Tom go.
Ballard, sad. Yeah, I mean, a difficult decision.
Yeah, I think he's one of the players we've had in the past couple of seasons where you always felt he was giving his all. The problem is he was only able to give it half of the time. And, you know, we all love Tom. You know, he's the kind of player that you love to cheer on. But ultimately, he's not any better than any number of midfielders we've seen at Playmore in the past 2 years. He just runs around a lot. And while that has a quality, I mean, one of my favorite players in years past was Matt Hockley, and he wasn't really a footballer. He was just somebody who would run around like an angry spaniel. And I think if we're going to have any pretensions of progressing as a club, we need to get rid of the culture of failure, which is why the players I would keep are ones who haven't been here very long, with the exception of maybe Moxie, who I think I would keep for as long as he wants to stay, since he's been the best of a very poor bunch this season.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. JJ?
I was just going to say, with Tom, I think he's a slightly better player than that. I think he's shown he's more than just a run-around player, but I think what's been frustrating definitely this season is he didn't show the quality that he has enough for me, which is another reason why I think he should move on past his new.
Could be a function of the team in general.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Very poor. If he's having to run around cover for Brett McGavin, who marks one square yard of turf and that's all he can reach, then that's going to be a problem. I know when he's done well, that it's because he's had some sort of anchor and Asa Hall behind him, and he's been able to row forward and arrive late and score goals. It's just that this season he hasn't been able to do it, mostly because the team has been inept. I like the word inept because it brings up something slightly comical. It makes you imagine, you know, a bunch of clowns falling out of a car. And that's certainly been our midfield this season.
No, like for me, I think Tom Lapsley suffered the most by us going down a level. I think it almost made him worse, because you get a lot of runners in the National League South. You know, if you want to be a dickhead midfielder in the National League, you can just, you know, be a dickhead midfielder against some people. But guess what? The National League South has got a lot of dickhead midfielders that want to kick you around. So, you know, I feel like it's a tricky one. I'll go to the next one. And again, maybe we'll all agree. Maybe we won't. But Asa Hall, Captain Fantastic for some. JJ.
It's a tough one. I would say keep, but I think I'm moving on to Dean Moxie at the same time. I think
yeah, go on. We can do both.
I think probably only keep one of those two.
Okay.
And maybe put one as a player coach type role. Yeah, tricky one though.
Matty Hayward.
I haven't made my mind up on those two, even though I said I'd been them all earlier. Every year we get asked this question. Every year I've said, give them both another year, they'll be all right. I wonder if it might be time. But Ace has been brilliant since he's come back into the team. I think JJ's right that maybe you sort of keep one of them and it would be a flip of a coin, and just give them, say, we know you're only going to play 25 games, but be good for that and be a coach outside of that. If I had to pick one, I'd probably keep Asa just.
Interesting. P?
I'd like to understate that I don't think his legs have gone. I don't think he can't keep up with the game. My concern with Asa is his injury rate. I think he's a very good person to have around the club. But for me, when you consider the money that inevitably an experienced player like that will take as a salary, is that better spent on someone who you're going to get more games out of? So for me, I'm afraid it's a no on Asa. But if we're discussing Moxie as well, again, understanding the experience level that comes with him, I'd probably err on yes for Moxie based on the fact that he does seem to get a few more games out of him.
Yeah, even if you have to sub him off every 65 minutes for a hamstring issue. Yeah. Parkman?
Agree entirely with P, not just because she's my wife, but because that's what I was thinking. You can't say we can't keep Lapsley because he only plays half the games, and then go, oh, we'll keep Asa Hall because he plays even fewer games than Lapsley. Whereas Marks at least has the good grace to play pretty much every week. And I think he has played at a much higher level as well for much longer in his career. So potentially doesn't need, I don't certainly don't think he needs the money, but he might have a greater wealth of experience or breadth of experience to bring it to the table. So I'm very sorry, Asa, as lovely as your hair was, and I'm sure the rest of you still is. No, you can go back to, I don't know, Birmingham or wherever it is you're from, and we'll keep dear old Dino.
Yeah, I think I'm probably in the D-Moxie camp myself. Roberts?
I've thought that Hall was going to leave every summer since Ashton Gate.
Yeah.
And I think he should have gone last season, and I don't see the point in sticking around next season. I can't get behind. I know his influence, but I think that probably speaks to how bad the rest of the team was, that we're still relying on a man who's, you know, in his mid-60s to rescue us every after 70 minutes when we're 1-0 down to Hemel Hempstead. I think it just speaks to a lack of imagination and creativity. Same on Moxie as well. I think, won't he be 40 this time round?
39, I
think. 38 now.
Yeah.
Ballard?
I would a little bit annoyed that P said exactly what I was thinking. I think Moxie actually has played, I have the stats. So outfield players, he's played more minutes than anybody except three, which is surprising for a person of his age. We'll get into who you think has the most minutes outside of Halstead later on, perhaps. I like Asa Hall, and I think when he came into, you know, as a centre half towards the end of the season, he made that defence look, let's not say good. I mean, let's not get carried away with using words like good, but less bad. And I think that experience is always going to stand as Inga's there. We just can't afford to carry players who can only play 20 odd games. Asa played 25 games for us this season. I mean, that's not enough. I mean, especially when you have a constricted budget. If he said, I'll play for you for 100 quid a week, all right, great. But he's probably not going to do that.
Yeah. Or if he was pay per play, even. Like, yeah. It's for me, it's not the experience. It's obviously worth bearing in mind as well. There is no ill will towards these people as people. But if you've got a salary cap, a budget,
yeah,
he takes from it. And it's simply not worth it at this point.
That's a good point. Matty Hayward, do you have any ill will towards Ross Marshall?
Another of my favourite men associated with this football club. I noticed that he was in a sort of balaclava at Gloucester, not wanting to show his face following the one point. It might not have been following the one point deduction, but following getting sent off. That's what it was. And who can blame him? I said I won't take any joy in seeing Moxie and or Hall go. I will take every bit of joy in never seeing Ross Marshall and talking shit again.
It's just, it was just important to get that balance back after P's, you know, nice comments. It's good to get back to that.
Yeah, you can be too reasonable, I think. And so at least somebody on this panel needs to be completely deranged in their hatred of footballers.
I suppose just one last point on Moxie and Hall. And I'll let anyone jump in on this. Do we think that both of them will even want to carry on, or are they both just going to hang up their boots?
I think Moxie will stay.
I think Moxie will.
He seems to love playing. I don't think he'll play it, let's say, after 35, unless you're enjoying it, or unless you have five ex-wives, leave it. So, I think he would play. But a lot of it depends on what we're prepared to pay him. You know, if we say to him, hey, Dino, we'd love to stick around, but we have to pay you half of what you're getting paid, he's going to tell us to shove it, probably.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. I was just going to do a couple more that I've seen some discussion online that I know Hayward's keen about. So Brett McGavin, Ballard, let's start with you on Brett McGavin.
I would probably let him go. I do think there's a player in there. I just don't think we're in a position where we can afford to carry somebody with a salary until he figures out his own career.
Roberts?
He is the slowest man alive, isn't he?
He makes me look fast.
Yeah.
It is incredible. At Bath, he turns slower than an oil tanker. And yeah, he can shoot fine outside the area every now and then and score a screamer, but I still don't know what his actual role is in midfield, and he's generally crap most of the time. So I wouldn't shed a tear if he went.
What do you think about the suggestion that we turn down a bid for him at Christmas?
I think that's bullshit.
That sounds like bullshit, right?
Who said that? Where did that come from?
Even come from as well? With how little information comes out of this football club, I can't believe that that actually managed to be smuggled out.
File that under, we're getting bought by Brewdog and fucking whatever else.
Nicky Maynard's been spotted in the bay.
Yeah, Nicky Maynard.
I was so into that Nicky Maynard one. I was ready for it. Yes. Oh, that's a joke. Yeah. Somewhere in an alternate universe, Nicky Maynard's being managed by Brewdog and Neil Warnock. Heywood, did we do you on McGavin? I can't remember.
No. It really pains me. I've loved him from a sort of banter perspective, and he does score really good goals, and that's fun. And it's really exciting to watch a game where you know someone gets the ball 30 yards out and might put it in the top corner. But the performance at Bath was one of the all-time bad performances from a Torquay player, and I'm afraid if we want to win this league, which I think probably still should be our aim, regardless of whatever happens, he's just not good enough. And I will be sad to see him go. I think if he was 2 inches shorter and 5 yards quicker, he'd be an absolute baller, but he isn't. So he isn't.
P?
I think no. I think, sort of as we said earlier, most players for me sit on the side of no.
Yeah.
I just think starting with a clean slate is better.
I think also, if he hadn't have had a contract for this season, then would he have kept him for this season?
No. Yeah, good question.
Although we didn't ship him out like we did Ryan Hansen.
Couldn't find that he'd be stupid enough to take him.
We've had someone to take Ryan Hansen.
Yeah, and putting him out. Did we go there?
Did we ask them?
I think that's answered what Parkman thinks of Brett McGavin as well. JJ, have you got anything to add?
I think P said, clean slate. I think you can probably argue, make a case for him because he does score a lot of screamers, but he's just not mobile enough. We've seen so many games where you just can't get back. People just glide past him. I think good luck to him. He might get a good dip offer from somewhere in the summer. It'd be very, very interesting to see where he ends up.
It'd be interesting to see if he stays professional. I think again, if you when you're released by Torquay United in their worst season in their history, I think it's a tricky situation to be in.
Let me ask you this.
He's gonna have a hell of a highlight reel, isn't he?
Well, that's the thing, YouTube box office. I mean, yeah, I throw that together.
I could see him ending up at a sort of a lower to mid National League team. It's just whether there's better players there that can sort of, you can flourish around those. We'll see.
Does anybody know how the rules, because he's 24, right? So if we offer him a contract and he moves on, would that entitle it to some sort of compensation?
Yeah,
and if that's the case, how low of a contract can we offer him to get money?
It has to be on the same terms.
Oh, damn.
And that's right. My
brilliant plan is foiled. £2 a week.
My only knowledge of that was Football Manager, I think. So anyone else can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the deal in Football Manager. You have to offer them a deal on the same terms. I don't think you can offer him half a hobnob and hope for some compensation when he signs for Bognor Regis. I don't think that's how it works. I'm going to lump the next two together because I think they're probably together. But we'll talk about Austin Booth and Ollie Tomlinson. I think probably players that we weren't expecting. Well, Austin Booth weren't expecting to play for us at all, and then Ollie Tomlinson probably weren't expecting to play as much. Parkman, like, what's your take on those two? That kind of centre back pairing, unless you want to call Austin Booth a central midfielder.
I do not. I am not a member of the Austin Booth as a central midfielder appreciation society. It's nonsense. No, again, I kind of I ain't shit about Booth, but I kind of wanted to like Ollie Tomlinson because I think he started off okay-ish, as okay as you can. I forgave him the odd mistakes he made, the odd times that he was just muscled off a ball by some 38-year-old bricklayer's assistant or whatever. And you're like, well, you can't help how big you are. But I always go back to, I watched a young Mark Ellis for us, and I know he had Guy Branston next to him teaching him things, but then Ollie Tomlinson has got Dean Moxey next to him teaching
And Ross Marshall.
and Ross Marshall coaching through a game. And neither of those really are the sorts of people who are backwards and coming forwards, and Tomlinson is still getting done over exactly the same way that he was in weeks one and two. He's had a whole season of being professional footballer, and has learned apparently fuck all. If you're any kind of defender, particularly one that plays regularly in a team of professionals that managed to concede whatever we conceded this year, bloody 90 goals or whatever, I'm very much afraid you can't be around next year. There has to be a consequence to that, and the consequence is he's going to be working in Sainsbury's.
What a closer to an argument. Pete, are you happy that your life partner has chosen to talk about him in those terms?
That's not saying life partner. She can still get out of it.
Oh, that's true. That is true. And Ballard knows.
No, if she knows what's good for her, she can't.
Wow, this is taking a turn. Pete, take us back to, I mean, the Austin Booth is a yellow factor. Does that do anything for you?
It's very sweet, but I really do think that we need more than that this season. With respect, it's no good just kind of loving football or loving Torquay or generally being the golden retriever of the club. Those are great qualities. I don't think we need a team full of Ashley Yeomans.
Wow.
So no, it's not enough. I do feel a little bit. That said, I'm going to directly contradict myself here. I feel a little bit softer than the other Parkman half on Tomlinson. I think that he has shown a level of improvement over the course of the season. And in the same way that I might consider keeping Lapsley as a bit of a bench option, I would perhaps consider Tomlinson as a bench option. But it might be more a no than a yes.
Matty Hayward.
I think you can tie yourself in knots having these conversations about sort of maybe Tomlinson could do this, and maybe with a bit of support from somebody, Booth could do that, and that's probably true. And I actually think that Tomlinson will probably have a semi-decent professional career, but because he'll probably peak in his late 20s, as centre backs tend to, but we've given him a year. We've spoon-fed him for a year. I think I'm right. I'm going to answer Ballard's question from earlier that Tomlinson is our most minutes of the season, and that's enough for me. If you play that many minutes in that team, you can go. I'd love to build a team full of Torquay fans, but Booth is, if he is not contracted to next season, then he needs to follow him out the door, because I mean we're all Torquay fans, and I would build about four around us. No offence.
I've got a feeling Booth is under contract. I think he's one of possibly two
Okay,
that's got
that's
a
interesting.
contract.
Who's the other one, JJ?
I think Archer's under contract, which is good news. Although we're jumping the gun a little bit.
No, no, we can talk about Archer as
Don't
well.
quote me on that. But yeah, I just want to say as well, yeah, I completely agree with Matt. Tomlinson, not good enough. Should have signed a quality, massive, old experienced centre half. You can just head it and kick it away. Gary Johnson didn't do that. He brought Tomlinson in, well, back, I should
Yeah.
say. Useless. So get rid.
Roberts.
Yeah, same here. He's too physically weak to be a decent centre back. You need a big, strong, ugly, bald man in
Hello.
the
And shock is Chris Ballard. visual gag for our podcast listeners.
But yeah, Chris Ballard needs to be in the centre of defence. I mean, you know, it would have done a better job than Ollie Tomlinson.
Do you agree with that, Ballard?
Hasn't improved one bit, and somehow, I've said this before, but you know, he made half a dozen appearances for, what was it, Chippenham, Taunton last season as well, and that somehow qualified him to be our first choice centre back this season.
Yeah,
in a season where we had to win the league.
I can't believe he's done quite so many minutes. And when if you were asking yourself honestly, is he better than, I don't know, Jamie Sendles White? Probably not. You know, like, and I know that's a name that gets brought up a bit too much in this podcast.
Don't
but,
Ballard, start.
What was that?
Do not start.
Ballard, did you want me to bring up Jamie Sendles White?
No, but I'm going to defend Ollie Tomlinson.
Okay, go on.
I mean, probably better than he can defend me, but I would keep him and Booth. And the reason I would keep Tomlinson is I think it's a dereliction of duty on the part of Gary Johnson to retain a kid who's young and then throw him to the wolves by not signing a functioning centre-half. In a squad where he would be someone you bring on in the last 10 minutes of games with a bit of experience, he would have been an ideal squad player for us this season. The fact that he had to play 3,412 minutes is a huge thing to blame on the management side. And I would keep him because I think there is a player in there. I'd say, here's a gym membership. You get yourself down there and lift some weight, Sonny. But I think he will have a decent career. And I think if he falls out of football because of a bad season, I would feel terrible for him because I don't feel like it would be entirely his fault.
I can absolutely see where you're coming from with that. Yeah. Mismanagement and could mismanage him out of the career.
And, you know, we'll probably speak about Downs later on. Downs was a defender. What the hell is he doing? Is he not teaching defenders how to defend? Because that's been laughable all season. And then Austin
against Havant, though.
Well, that's true. Well, cool. Austin Booth, I think I am a little bit more sentimental than most because I didn't even realize he was John Gittin's kid until the other day. I was like, wait, what? And someone made some joke about the York manager. I would keep him because I think he is a decent player. I think, well, he could be a very decent squad player. I would feel bad if he was our starting defender or starting midfielder. I also do like having a legacy player of some description, you know, someone who has a history with the club through a brother or a father or what have you. And maybe he can be converted to a roving midfielder now that Brett McGavin's going to be leaving. We need someone to do all the glorious goals for us.
Exactly. That is true. I'm just going to throw it open for, I know JJ spoke earlier about he'd only retain one or two. So just throw it open to, we're assuming we've got Ethan Archer already signed on. And perhaps Austin Booth. I'm just going to throw it open to the house in terms of anyone else you'd like to make a case for staying for next season.
I'd keep Bradley Ash.
I'd keep
Bradley Ash because I think he is a good second striker if we have a good first striker. Like, you know, we intended clearly to play Jarvis and Ash. The only problem with is early in the season, we're playing long ball, which is not just the game. I think, you know, we know Ash will get goals. He got a dozen, I think, this season in a crap side. I think in a half decent side, he gets 20 goals fairly comfortably. So I would keep him too.
It's really interesting that we've not even, you know, we've not even said Jarvis.
Is
that because we just presume he's gone? Or is that because we just
I feel like he's been gone in about months.
Are we that arsed that he's... he's going, really.
He was under contract, I'd be very happy, but he's clearly moving on and hasn't shown any interest since about February.
I think he's been poor this season, even when I can't remember what he's got to, but he's not been great even when he was playing, and I think he's gone, isn't he? I think he'll be pleased to go.
Yeah, he was a bit unlucky because he had years at Scunthorpe, didn't he? They got relegated, and he got relegated with us last year, nearly got relegated this year. That's a lot of nonsense. He'll probably just go to somewhere that will guarantee him kind of mid-table National League. Can I go to Rochdale
or go to Eastleigh, I reckon.
Eastleigh, yeah. Or just someone who's probably going to finish anywhere between 8th and 14th in the National League, just so he can get 11 goals and 4 assists and make 38 appearances, 6 off the bench, and just be happy and just do fuck all for his 800 quid a week. And I'm sure they'll be over the moon with that.
Yeah, just play some football where it's not all going to shit. Just taking it back to, has anyone got any other names they want to throw in the hat for retention?
I don't have names I'd like to throw in the hat for retention.
Keep the assistant goalkeeper.
Keep Lovett.
Yeah, why not? I mean, he's probably on
I would probably go along with that too. But, you know, we know he's capable. I don't think he's materially worse than Halstead so far. He could be better. And presumably he's not going to be on stupid. Everything that I think about retaining players and bringing players in is predicated on not knowing what the budget is. Yeah. If we're assuming it's not going to be Wrexham levels of budget, then you have to make allowances for people you think might be prepared to take less money. And I think Lovett would be one such player.
Hayward, you're suspiciously silent. Is that because you hate every single one of them?
No, it's not. I'm just trying to work it out, really. I sort of weirdly will be sorry to see, I'm going to say Jack Stobbs go. I think he will go, and I think that would be a shame. I think there's a player in there. I know he's really not showed it much this season. I agree on Ash. I probably wouldn't give him a contract, but I think we will, and I think he'll score goals next year because he is the sort of player who would... He's had a really rough deal. He's been playing up front by himself for most of the last second half of the year, and he still scored a few goals, and he's tried hard, and he's turned up every week, unlike some of them. So I actually think... I think he'll score goals in the Conference South. I don't want any of them. I'd like Duboy to stay if we could, but you know that seems very unlikely.
That ain't gonna happen.
No.
I'm just gonna throw one name back out there. Kevin Dawson.
No. No.
No.
And I'll throw the other one that's gone done the rounds on Twitter this week. Danny Wright re-signing.
No.
Who the fuck said that?
Talking about? No.
Some guy.
Didn't you just say we have too many old people and now we kept bringing in 43-year-old
people? I can't remember who it was. It was someone on Twitter said, unpopular opinion, but we should bring in Danny Wright. And then everyone's been saying, bring back Robin Stubbs. And
when you say everyone, Stephen, that was I would say 7 or 8 like quote tweet from me you're referring to. Thank you very much.
Not that you've got the numbers.
This is a 10-point score.
What's that?
Don't keep score or a diary or, you know, stats.
Yeah, no. But if it was a game, you'd be winning, which is great. All right, we're just going to touch on a few of our end of season award things from us here at Talking Torquay. The official player of the season was Dean Moxie. We'll just roll around the group here. JJ, do you agree with Dean Moxie?
Yep, firmly agree.
A Parkman?
If you have to give it to someone, yeah, all right, whatever.
Hey?
Yeah?
Hayward?
I think Arkell Duboyd has won more games than anyone and he's been our best player. He's our most talented player. I know he's not played all season. I think if you have to give it to someone who's played all season, then Moxie. But I voted for Duboyd and I would again.
Okay. Roberts?
Hayward stole my thunder again. I'd say the exact same thing. And it also just shows how crap the rest of the players have been.
Duboyd had a genuine shout, didn't he, Ballard?
Yeah, I mean, Moxie, probably the right choice given that Duboyd played, 17 or 18 games? But if he had won it, I don't think anyone would complain.
Young players, the next category. Are we all going Duboyd?
Yeah, there's no conceivable answer.
Yeah, okay, happy to roll through that. Next one's high point. Ballard, what's the high point of one of the worst seasons we've ever witnessed?
I mean, it's a struggle. I mean, you could always say, like, winning away at Taunton a week before the end of the season to save yourself. But it's still a pretty valley-looking high point, isn't it?
Yeah.
We won 2-1,
but it was one of the worst games of football I've watched. It was
don't care. At the point when you're in a relegation battle, you do not give a shit because we've seen for... two and a half, three seasons where we come out of games and we went, and actually they were the other team were terrible and we still lost.
It
Like,
was
it's
one.
Nice to be like, we were terrible and we won.
It was one of the most stressful games I've watched, I think, that game. That moment when, can't remember who it was, decided to let it bounce. And they were
Moxie Shank.
And they were in, and you just waiting for it to go in, and then they somehow missed the like an open goal on the rebound.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? That might be my high point.
I think that's my high point, to be honest.
Where that ball hit the post and the guy screwed it over the bar. I was like, yeah. Oh my God.
I actually have the correct answer to this.
Go on.
It's when we went 2-0 up against Dover on the first day.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He's right, you see.
We're going to piss the
because we thought, I was at the Altrincham game with P. I was listening to it on the radio. We went 2-0 up and I actually said to her, I wonder if a team has ever been top all season.
He did.
I promise you I did. That's true. Because we were 2-0 up against Dover. I think it may have been 0-0 with like at Yeovil or whatever. And I was like, right, we are going to be top. Because we were so, for 25 minutes, we were not just better than Dover, who, as a reminder for anyone who's forgotten, finished bottom with about 30 points. And they got one of them on the opening day against us. We sounded so good. We sounded like divisions above Dover. And then it all went wrong from the 25th minute of week one on.
And that basically became the rest of our season, didn't it? Heywood, have I already done your high point?
No, I think the best moment of the season is the departure of Clive Osborne. And I know that it's cast us into uncertainty and... you know, it's cost us 10 points. But I think we'll look back on that as the best part of this terrible season, that we've got that horrific influence out of our football club. And it hopefully will be a turning point for change. So, yeah, that's the best bit for me. I celebrated.
Roberts, is that your high point?
No, I'm going to disagree with the other Matthew for once. No, my highlight is probably the end of the season. Just that. This season has been one long slog continuously, and it's been full of so many disappointments and frustrations, and it's just been really hard to get through. And I'm just glad that it's over, and you know, you can look forward hopefully to August when there's all being well, going to be a bit of positivity around the ground again.
And JJ, was yours hitting the post? yours hitting the post.
I think it was the final whistle at Taunton, to be honest, just because it kind of follows on from what Matt just said there. It just felt like just a huge sigh of relief that we were staying in this division. I know that sounds...
Get in there.
That sounds ridiculous. But yeah, it's just been one... It's been an awful season, really.
And P.
Well, now that I've had my answer stolen, thanks. I actually think it was the Avely game at Playmore. I know that obviously it was a bit tense for a number of different reasons, but it brought a whole bunch of fans back to the club who hadn't been for a long time. There were lots of happy faces. There were people having that sort of release of, okay, the nonsense is hopefully coming to an end. And that was a relatively nice environment to be in.
Mm.
Yeah.
First time in 8 years.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that. And I should have done this the other way around, really. But we've got low point next, which is going to be a nice depressing point for us. Ballard, what's the low point of the season?
Take your pick from about 25 games, really. Probably losing 3-0 at home to Taunton. When, you know, you kind of thought, well, fucking Taunton. We played them in a pre-season friendly last season. And, you know, they were two divisions away from us or whatever it was. And then they played us off the park. And it was embarrassing how bad we were.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Roberts?
There's a lot of choice, but Bath away is probably the angriest I've been after a Torquay game. They showed very little application, and it was a terrible game of football. And I thought, yeah, we're going down now.
Heywood?
So many honourable mentions. Truro at home was awful. Hereford was utterly appalling.
Oh, God, that, yes, you're right. That's the one. That's the
Forgot
one.
about that.
It really was abysmal. I think I probably would say 4-1 at Tonbridge was, from a footballing perspective, my lowest, my most angry moment. And very rare for me, I left long before the final whistle.
P.
I think probably whilst I was stood in Bath's car park and a police car had been told that obviously we were being slightly dubious after the game whilst we were just waiting for a taxi.
What? So you got questioned?
No, they were obviously just, a fan may have and genuinely, politely heckled George Edwards and Mel Heyman as they left the ground. And some of us were waiting for a subsequent taxi. And yeah, they were clearly keeping an eye on us while we were there until we left.
Speaking of angry fans, that takes me on to Matt Parkman.
That side eye was
Absolutely, 100% untrue. You can't prove anything.
amazing.
Mine was the period between the 85th minute and the 87th minute in Hemel Hempstead away. We had quite rightly gone 2-1 up, having been vastly the better side. Ross Marshall inexplicably gave away a goal after 9 minutes, and then we managed to get 2-1 up. Quite rightly, we did. And then within 1 minute, it was 2-2. And then within 2 minutes of that, we were 3-2 down. And that was just it for me. It was that any remaining hope you may have had of we might be turning a corner, we might be turning a corner, we might be turning a corner. We've gone a goal up from a goal down. And then we just pissed it away again. And nothing said. Torquay United this season, or in the last 3 seasons, more than Hemel Hempstead away and those few. So that was the lowest point of my entire season.
Sorry to interrupt. The listener needs to hear that after almost all of those answers, I've just been watching Johnny sort of recoil in horror, head in hands, brilliantly. And I had exactly this. I'd forgotten about Hemel, and
This is the
I saw.
thing. I'm forgetting all of these things. I've just loaded up my FanHub app, so I can actually remember all of the horrific moments.
You don't want to
Didn't.
remember, no.
Yeah.
Just reminding me.
JJ, is there anything that can top it off?
So many honorable mentions. I was going to say Hemel. Then I was going to say Truro Boxing Day was probably the worst game I've seen at Plainmoor. Well, Western Supermare away, getting spanked, pouring down rain. M5 was closed on the way home, so got home at about 1:30 in the morning. Gary Johnson didn't even do a presser because he wanted to miss the roadworks. Dartford away, probably again, one of the worst games I've seen us play.
Oh, Jesus.
Chelmsford away, Athletic Stadium. I had to drive 6 hours back to Devon afterwards.
Slough at home.
Braintree away, we lost 1-0. Playing against 10 men for 70 odd minutes.
Right, they
Losing
scored
nearly
after.
every game of the season.
Yeah.
What was the home game where Gary Johnson was hiding in the director's box for most of it?
That
That we lost.
was St Albans, was it?
Yeah, that
Yeah,
rings a bell.
it was.
Tonbridge away 4-1 was embarrassing. And the Welling game probably when Ross Marshall got sent off when we looked half adequate. He decided to two-foot someone and got sent off and we lost. I'm gonna go collectively all of those moments was my low of the season.
What a podcast this is.
Definitely did these the wrong way around.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. Anyone got any mentions for goal of the season?
Brett McGavin.
Austin Booth.
Austin Booth from Ballard.
Nah, goalie threw it in his own net. There was
Brett McGavin
one
against Taunton.
yeah, whichever one McGavin curled in rather than
I'm
blunt.
gonna yeah his free kick home to Weymouth, was it? It was an he just absolutely rifles it. Keeper, no
Yeah.
chance. I'll go for
No, I can get on board with that. And I've also got a category here for funniest moment. Has anyone got
that.
anything they want to throw in the hat?
I
Because.
particularly enjoyed at St Albans where we were whatever we were, 2-1 up, 1-0. I don't know. And everyone was all, oh, Gary Johnson's yellow army. And then within 30 seconds they scored and it was Gary out, Gary out. And it was incredible.
Terrific. I want to give an honourable mention to It was quite funny on Twitter after the whole One Club United from George Edwards on that stream. That was quite good. Enjoyed the memes out at the end of that. Heywood, what's the funniest moment of the season?
It might be Austin Booth's goal. I don't think I've ever laughed at a talking goal before, but it really was completely out of the blue. I don't know.
Oh, I've got one. I've just remembered.
Yeah, go on.
Dwayne's cameo at Hereford.
Oh, yeah. He came on 47 seconds or whatever it was. Yeah, that was funny because it was one of those laugh or cry.
Because he was a new signing, wasn't he?
Well, that was his debut, wasn't it?
Yeah, he just signed that week again.
Oh, that was. I think that's the winner, isn't it? Anyone got any?
No, I can't beat that.
No.
That was terrific. Oh, excellent stuff. All right, I think that rounds up our end of season awards. And we can now head to Mr. Parkman for the next section of the pod.
Yes, you're going to need to mark your own here. You have to mark your own homework. So I'm going
to. Do I need to write something down?
Yeah, I would. It's going to be difficult to remember this. So over the course of the last few years, we have had a number of different scorers, top scorers. This year's top scorer was Brad Ash with 13 goals. I should say this is all courtesy of our friends over at Torquay Fan Stats, who are thoroughly excellent people, as always. So I was going to go back just 15 years, back to 2009, and see who I was going to ask you who was the top scorer in each of these seasons, and then for bonus points, how many goals did they get?
Do we need to get the years right, or is it like
no? I'm going to tell you what years they are, and then we'll go back 15 years from well, maybe 16 years from this year. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay, so we're going to go back to 10, 11.
Okay.
No, we're not. We're going to go back to 9, 10. So in 2009/2010, who was our top scorer? And for a bonus point, how many goals did he get? 2010, 2011. I'm going to keep reading out these years so that you don't lose count. I'll cough for it. In 11 and 12, we had two guys who got the same number. So you can either put both and hope, or you can put one and just have two chances at it.
I have not had the time to even think about what we're doing in any of these.
Do you get bonus points if you get them both?
Yeah, well, you get more points, wouldn't you? Because there's more points available.
Right.
So 12, 13, we're up to. 13, 14, don't hate the player, hate the game.
I know that one.
You know that one?
Yeah, it's like a comic. It's like one of those comical stats.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that I do know, I think.
Yeah.
If you got the year right, then yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we got relegated from Football League.
In that case, I do know, yeah.
That was probably like four goals or something.
I think I've got that one as well. That's the funny one.
That is the funny one, yeah. You've all obviously identified that. 14, 15?
I don't know any of these. I couldn't even tell you who was playing.
No, I'm certain. P, you're not like, I'm doing nothing on this, don't you worry.
Some classic players from 14, 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what kind of banter era are we in there?
Going down the memory book.
What I was hoping to achieve by this game is actually to remind us of slightly better times, but I may have picked slightly the wrong era.
I mean, you're going into 2015-16 now. There's nothing good about that.
We've had 10 years of failure, Matt. Get with the programme.
Okay. Fine. We're now... Yeah, I've started to regret this now. We're now into 16-17. And then 17-18 is another one of those special seasons where you can pick up two sets of points.
17-18 was when we got relegated again, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell him. You can tell him. I'm not going to tell him. Then 18-19. 19-20. There's concentration on the faces now.
Mm-hmm.
2021.
20 was half the season, wasn't it?
Oh, shit, I've gone wrong here. 20.
And 22-23.
And we that one since you just told us that 10 minutes ago.
And 22-23, not 23-24.
Oh, fuck. I got that wrong. In that case, I forgot all about that person.
Brain scientist.
How many goals did he get then? I don't know. This number, let's just guess.
It's all guessing, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got some real black spots in my memory.
That's all the strong liquor.
Yes, that must be it.
I haven't put numbers down for goals. I'm just going to guess. Yeah, I've done a few numbers, but after that, I'm just like making shit up.
Right. Okay, well, no cheating then. Has everybody got answers for everything?
Yeah.
I don't have 15, 16, but I don't know any of the players from that year, so.
Okay. All right, well, you're not getting any points in here. Right, so the answers then. 2009-2010, Scott Rendell.
Ah.
Damn it.
Do I get a point if I accidentally get the number of goals right?
Yes, because it was 12.
Oh, I didn't get it right, but I'm thinking for the other ones.
I got my era well off. I went for Carl Hawley.
Oh, Jesus, no.
That famously prolific forward.
Any other ridiculous answers?
Oh, I put Elliot Bennion.
Tim Seals, couldn't remember.
I had Tim Seals.
Yeah, so. In fairness, Seals, he won it the previous 2 years.
So. He did play a bit that season, didn't he? And then Buckle fucked him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was back in the league, wasn't it? 10-11, did anybody get anything other than Chris Obrovsky?
Oh, I put Bennion again.
I put Rendell.
No, oh, that's unlucky. Zebra's got 14 goals that year. No. No, nobody got that. Okay.
No.
11-12. This
Rene Howe and Mansell.
And Lee Mansell. I think I got, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rene and Mance both got 12.
Oh, get in.
And 13.
Oh, I've got 100 points. This is good.
I've got Rene Howe, but I didn't get Mansell.
Didn't get Mance, okay. That was that the Soccer AM year?
Yeah, it must have been. He never had another season like that, did he?
No, okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's true. Must have been. 12-13, did anybody get anything other than Rene Howe again?
Oh, I put Lee Mansell again.
Rene Howe.
Good. Rene got 16 on his own. Next year. I think we all got pretty much. We all got the next one, didn't we? 13-14.
Jordan Chappell.
Jordan
Chappell. And he got five
goals.
Five goals.
Yes, he did.
He's no on wonder that, he went on down, is it?
There's like a board.
Remember, he got two of those in an afternoon away at Northampton. I think we won 2-1 from 1-0 down.
Yeah, we did. It's a good game.
So how many did Carl Hawley score then? If the top goal scorer got five?
I don't think he got more than three, Hawley. Yeah. He scored at Morecambe.
He scored at home to Exeter, I think.
Yeah.
He missed a penalty that one game. I can't remember. Anyway, sorry, divert.
How many did Chris McPhee get?
No, absolutely no idea. Not a clue. It's not in here. It's not on my list.
Who
got it in 14-15?
I've got Bowman.
Ryan Bowman. Yes.
So I completely forgot about Bowman.
Ryan Bowman. How many did he get?
No clue.
12.
16.
12 he got.
Did he only play for us for a season?
Yeah.
Yes.
He did, yeah.
I think he must be, given the numbers either side of him, I think he must have done.
He was quite good, wasn't he? Surprised
it
got
was
him.
Good. This is a snippet for the podcast fans. I was doing work experience with Dave Thomas, and I was told about an hour before anyone else that Bowman was off to Gateshead, and I went to the toilet and leaked it to my dad. There you go. The journalistic integrity of that publication has gone downhill ever since.
Yeah, complete nonsense.
Like, they give you such the measliest bit of information. I'll be leaking that.
Yes, thank you. I love that.
That's on the group chat.
Right away. After Ryan Bowman in 15-16, do you know who was top scorer that year?
Nathan Blissett.
I'll put Blissett.
Ah.
Yeah, he was. Nathan Blissett got 8 goals.
Blissett.
What a good boy.
Good signing, he was.
Good centre forward. Kept us up pretty much, didn't he? That goal at Boreham Wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Blissett. I would have kept him around much longer.
Yeah, Bristol Rovers, fucker, it's all you want, Nick. Just massive black guy up front. Just letting
unpopular opinion. Should we give him a deal?
I'd give him a deal. I'd get him
give
in.
Give him a deal.
He's still playing. So, yeah, get him in.
Who's he playing for? Like Nuneaton Borough or something?
No, he's a mortgage broker at the moment and plays for Bromsgrove or something.
Does he? Freaking...
Like that? I don't know. Bromsgrove give him a deal. Sporting. Get him in. Who was it in 16-17?
Is it Brett Williams?
It is Brett Williams. How many did he get?
Oh. 7.
10.
10.
Oh. I'll put Conrad Balotone.
And you're wrong. 17-18, it's another one of these magic years. This will be good.
Reece Healy.
Reece Healy.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get anyone for this.
The two fellas are right. It's Reece Healy and Shagger. They both got...
Reece Healy came in really late, didn't he? It was absolute...
Reece Healy turned up. Yeah, he's been in France for a lot of it since, and he's got like 30 goals a season.
He's in the Championship now, I think.
Yeah, he is. I want to say Huddersfield.
Yeah, I think so. Because he went to Watford, and I think he's... Yeah.
Much better than he showed for us.
Yeah.
18-19, this one's easy.
Dagger, 29.
You're in the Reedy years now.
You're in the Reedy swan song.
The era.
Yeah.
The era will be good.
Look, I know podcast, you know, they only get the audio, but Haywood is lit up. He has lit up.
Look how happy he is.
It's about time we had some joy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Who was it in 1920?
Reedy.
Yes, it was. How many did he get?
19?
Oh, close. 18.
Ah, oh, yes.
Got 18, and that was the COVID year, wasn't it? So, didn't even play all the games.
Played half a season. Got, what, 1 in 2, maybe?
Not bad.
Hell of a fucking player.
And he was injured for about a month in that season as well.
Yes, he was.
This takes us away from the game. I thought he was quality. Would I have ever thought he'd notched so many goals in League One for Stevenage? No, is the honest answer. But I bet Haywood did.
I was going to say, you didn't see the vision, Stephen, honestly. I mean... As soon as he stepped on the pitch at Playmore, he's an international footballer. And, you know, if you didn't see, you weren't paying attention.
When he was on left wing getting booed by the pop side.
Spot on. Correct. Especially then, if anything.
International centre forward playing on the left wing. Jesus. The things we have to put up with. who was it in 2021?
Right?
Danny Wright.
Acer.
No, it was the Lemon.
How was it?
Oh, look at Haywood, head in hands. Happy.
How many did he get?
10. 10 goals in 2021. And then 21-22.
Armani Little.
Yeah, Armani is only little, isn't he? But he's bloody good.
Armani Little.
Legend.
15, you got?
Oof.
It's a lot of goals.
A good return.
That's a lot of goals. And that was when he was getting booed every week as well.
Yeah.
For beating Dover.
Got booed by a handful of morons.
Just unbelievable. Fucking top scorer. Well, there you go.
Don't call Matthew Roberts a moron. He was booing him every game.
I was at that game when he was booed for winning man of the match.
I rather like when he didn't get a hat trick or something and everyone was cheering and he was like, no, fuck off. Mm-hmm. Up to the crowd.
Didn't
that
he
was
sure.
He shushed the crowd when he scored the winner.
Yeah, I quite like that. No, you can't cheer.
I think you've got to take it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Quite right. And last one, last season.
Aaron Jarvis.
Could only be Aaron Jarvis, couldn't it? How many did he get?
12?
17.
Incredibly, he got as many 14. As he had done the year before. 15.
15.
And somehow we still went down.
Shambles.
Ridiculous. So Brad Ash this year, 13, has done better than Ryan Bowman.
He was injured for the first like 2 months or so.
He's done better than Rene Howe and Lee Mansell in a year when we came vanishingly close to going up. He's done better than Scotty Rendell our first year in the in back in League Two. He's got as many goals as Reece Healy and Jamie Reid put together in 17-18. So
there is arguably a difference in quality of opponent in those.
There is, yeah. I was hoping no one would spot that, but yeah, we are two divisions below where a lot of those players are playing. Tot up your scores and tell me how many you got.
How many points do you get for a correct answer?
One for a name, bonus point for the goals.
Okay.
More riveting. Well,
I'll start the bidding at 16.
16, okay. That's a good score, I think.
Yeah, I'll go in with a 9.
I thought I did it right. I've got 11.
I think Ballard's got 12. He left me a list because he's had to go. But I can't read his handwriting, so...
Okay, well, we it's probably not as many as 16, is it?
Yeah, but look at Roberts' face.
Yeah, right, now check Hayward's internet history. Talkie fan stats.
Look, that's not the worst thing you're going to find in Hayward's internet history.
I was going to say... You'd be pleased to find talking bad stats.
A long way down the list. Roberts, how many did you get?
I got 8.
8, okay. I thought you'd do better at that. I thought you were the kind of guy who would do this. This is more fun. We miss Ben tremendously. We miss Ben Curry tremendously. But this sort of thing is much more fun if he's not here.
No, again, I want to put some balance in. He ruins these games because he just wins them. So, you know... Who wants that?
Look, don't hate the player, hate the game.
he's a good man, Ben Curry.
For being able to remember literally everything that's ever happened at Plainmoor ever.
Yeah, fair enough.
So there you go, there's your game. I hope everybody at home enjoyed it as much as I did.
That was a game. I'm just gonna leave us with one bit towards the end where I throw it around us all again. What's your one hope for Torquay United over the summer, Mr. Parkman, let's start with you.
That the new owners have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with any of the idiots who've been in charge for the 8 years and seen a £3 million a year turnover business lose £1 million a year.
Has anyone got anything to top that hope for the summer for Torquay United?
I don't have anything to top it, but as a sort of addendum or however you say it, I would really like them to do things sooner rather than later. I have a grave concern around the whole new owner situation, not so much from an ownership situation, but for example, the club has to carry on as if they're continuing to progress through the summer as they normally would, which means Aaron Downes has to be in charge of picking a retained list, which means if and when a new owner comes in, and if Aaron Downes isn't the first team manager, whoever comes in is potentially stuck with a number of players who've been promised contracts that perhaps they didn't want. And the whole situation in that regard feels very, very worrisome.
Do we even talk about Downes?
We didn't.
Do we want him to stay? I'm going to say no.
No.
Open the bidding.
I think that's unanimous in the pod. I actually think I will just underline, I respect him massively for staying. I think what little respect I had for Johnson by the end, I lost even more when he immediately resigned when we were clearly going to be in a shit heap. And again, by that point, I admit I was probably in the Johnson out camp, but once the money had been pulled and he immediately resigned, I just thought, you know, we are now at our lowest ebb and you're not going to hang around. It really sullied anything left for me. And I respect Downes massively for staying. And he's done the job. He did, you know, keeping us in the league is what we wanted, I suppose. But in terms of looking to next season, I think it's got to be elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely has. Johnson, I think, got away with a lot by leaving at the moment that he did. I've seen precious little flack given to him for that and everything else. And he was allegedly at the Yeovil game and didn't get any hassle there. And you're quite right, to have just up and fucked off the minute the money went away was a real testament to, I've literally no interest in the job, the club, the fans, anything, any of these players even. I don't feel like I owe them even 2 minutes of my time when there's no guarantee that my probably by the end outsized salary is going to be paid. I mean, look, I don't work for free either, but like, I'd give it 10 minutes for crying out loud. I'd go and wash my
hands. Didn't wait and see where the chips lay, did he? He just thought, fuck this, and went.
Yeah. The minute there, I mean, we didn't even know at that time what was going on. I mean, he might have gone, oh, we're stepping away. And then Brewdog Geezer turns up. He's like, right, I'm handing out 20 grand contracts here, there, and everywhere. I bet he'd have been back then. I just went home for the afternoon. No, what are you talking about? No, I'm back.
Yeah, no, Aaron Downs is coaching this lot.
Yeah, nothing to do with me.
Good point to bring that up. Has anyone else got anything they want to say in terms of the off-season thoughts?
I hope we exist.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
Yeah, I concur with everything that's been said. The departure of George Edwards, when it happens, and I hope it's this summer, will be welcome. I also look forward to an injury crisis sparking Brett McGavin making his England debut and bringing it home.
Is that how we end this season's podcast?
That's the last podcast of the season. We won't be back until we've got new owners or significant information or a guest. So that's it. Yeah. Finish.
No, I can agree with that. On that note, I'm going to be saying goodbye to our podders. I'm saying goodbye to the podders. JJ, thank you for joining us this season.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Matt Parkman, thank you for joining us this season.
It's been an absolute blast, as always. Thank you so much.
Massive shout out to Editor-in-Chief P for joining us this season and editing every pod. Thank you to P.
Oh, well, correction, most pods, Steph, you have done your fair share this season as well.
I think I did one, so that's great. Matty Hayward.
Thanks all, have a good summer. Forget about talking for a bit.
Matt Roberts.
It's been an experience. See you the other side.
And Chris Ballard, the man, the myth, the legend.
Let's not do this exact same thing next year, eh, guys?
Let's not do this again. What a message from Talking Talkie, from our podcast to your ear holes. Let's not do this again. Goodbye.
Edwards out.